There's so much, and I just can't pass over it all. I'm reading from the 1901 version. That's why, last week, when it says, if you keep in remembrance, but the word is, if you hold down, if you hold fast, the word that I preached unto you. Many times I'm emphasizing a point, and you're looking at your Bible, and you'll say, why is he saying that? And it's because there is a different Greek word that has an inadequate translation. And so where it says in the King James, if you keep in memory or keep in remembrance, it's really if you hold fast, if you hold down those things. And so notice that as we start reading. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast. That's the way, the word there, the way it's translated here. If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you among first things that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he hath been raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. To see seen of Cephas, then the 12, then he appeared to about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now, but some are fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not found vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Whether then it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ is preached that he hath been raised from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, then is our preaching empty. Your faith also is empty. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we witness of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ hath not been raised, your faith is empty, you are yet in your sin. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have only hoped in Christ, in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful for this record that we have inspired of thy Spirit. We are glad that it means more to us than all the philosophy and the speculation of the world since time began. We are thankful for this precious page out of Holy Writ. We desire to look at it a little tonight. We can only be blessed if thou dost teach by thy Spirit, and if we are clean in heart. And so we confess our sins and our powerlessness, but Father, committing ourselves into thy hands, we are sufficient for all things. So prepare the hearts of those who listen and the heart of him who speaks. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How many times did the Lord Jesus appear after he was raised from the dead? Any brother know? Well, how many times did I read you in this portion that he appeared? It speaks about he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, about 500 brethren at once, James, all the apostles, and then to Paul. So that makes 6. But now, if you had been thorough, you would have gone home and looked up every occurrence of an appearance of the Lord Jesus after he was raised from the dead for this reason. It may be that Paul has given us some of the appearances that we don't find in the gospel, and what Paul gives us is a record of all his appearances in the gospel, plus some two more that do not appear in the gospel. It could be that, but it isn't that. For the simple reason that no less than 10 distinct times the Lord appears, is seen by his own. And we'll go over those in a few minutes. That's why I know I can't get through this, but it is absolutely essential for us to consider in depth the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. Now, I would ask this question. Why, when some of the most precious portions of God's Word, when the Lord was raised from the dead, are recorded for us in the gospel, why doesn't Paul tell us about them? You know about them, and I know about them. Why doesn't Paul tell us about them? Because he probably didn't know about them. Do you realize that? It's the same as when the New Testament was being written. Let us say the Gospel of Mark was written first. You have the Gospel of Mark, and it's so abbreviated. There are things that you don't know at all. And yet, if you had one Gospel of the life of Christ, the 16 chapters of the Gospel of Mark, how precious it would be. But then, Matthew comes along, and he writes his Gospel. And then you say, why, there are more things that Matthew tells us that Mark did not include. I know much more now. And then Luke comes along and writes his gospel. And you finally say, I thought both of those thieves on the cross were lost. But one of them finally trusted Christ as Savior. And you come to the gospel of John and you say, why, I never realized all these things occurred in the life of Christ. This is how a man would take it who was receiving the gospel and the Word of God as it came historically to the church. It's like this. I've bought some books, and if they're an early edition, there'll be just a few pages. But you'll see that if you get an earlier book, it'll say the other part is to come out in November, and then next year, the 1st of July, another portion is to come out. But at times, I wait until they're all out, and I have the whole book. It happened that way about the occurrences of Greek words in the papyri. Some words in the New Testament only occur one time. Remember the word hapax legomenon. It means it only occurs one time. And so how can you tell what a word means when it only occurs one time? If you see it used 5, 10, 15 times, you can figure out what it means by its usage most of the time. And so I remember that I got one copy, or saw one copy of this book, and it was put together in sections, section after section. But I waited, and finally, I got the whole book, from A to Z. But then think of those individuals that got Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, and then they wanted Zeta, and they had to wait months and months, and finally, ah, here is the word that I want. I'm saying that because you and I take it for granted that Paul and the apostles and all the New Testament Christians knew as much as we know, but they don't know as much as we know. We have the completed Word of God, and if tradition is correct, most people take it that the Gospel of John was written ever so late. And so, some of the things that we hold most dear to our hearts, for God so loved the world. Why, that didn't come upon the scene, let's say, until almost A.D. 100. Think of that. The one that we know, we turn people to the Gospel of John first off to be saved, and perhaps that was the last Gospel that was written. And so, it may very well be that Paul did not tell us about all of these appearances of Christ because he did not know about these appearances of Christ. You say, well, is he competent? Is he competent? Why, of course. If this is not so, why, no one could write because they do not know everything. Tell me. How many went with the Lord Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration? You say there was Peter, James, and John. Well, then Matthew can't write because he wasn't up there. You say, that's right. No, you don't have to know everything. And so some of them have to be told by others. And so we know that Paul was familiar with these instances. That may well have been that he's giving an accredited rundown of witnesses whom men could go and visit and say, is it true that you saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead? And these men would say, yes. The women were in the background. And if you read Mark's Gospel, it tells us in chapter 16 that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And then if you read Matthew's Gospel, you find that he appeared to the women as they were going to tell the other apostles that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. And so here are two appearances that Paul has left out. Whether he knew them, we don't know, or whether he said, I want to give male testimonies, like he says that the women keep silence. It's not that he did not know or did not believe it. He wants to give the testimony of male witnesses. Do you remember how that woman at the well of Samaria went and told people about the Lord Jesus? And even though she told them, they said, no, we don't believe because of your speaking, but we have seen. However that might be, he leaves out the two first appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Mary Magdalene saw our Savior. And the other women that were early at the tomb, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. They took hold of his feet. They worshipped him. And so these are two that Paul leaves out. I want to tell you the others, and then we'll get the ten. Then, on the first day, let me just tell you this. On the first day, there were five appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was raised from the dead. In fact, I'll give them to you. It'll be easier. Evidently, it appears that this was the order that Christ was seen of those after he was raised from the dead. Mary Magdalene first. Then these women that were early at the tomb, the other women. Then Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus, or Peter. Perhaps he appeared to Peter first. We don't know. But he appeared to those on the road to Emmaus, and then Simon. Now, remember this. Then the two return to Jerusalem and find 10 of the apostles, and it says in Luke's Gospel, the 10 and others. And so we have the 10 apostles. Thomas isn't there. We have Cleopas and his companion, and it says others. And these were the five appearances of the Lord Jesus on that first day of his resurrection. And yet Paul doesn't mention that most precious portion in Luke 24, that interview that they had those 7 miles talking with the Lord Jesus as he opens the scriptures and their heart burns within them. You see, Paul may not have known about that. And so here are five that we learn about. But at the same time, he tells us one that we don't read about in the Gospels, and that is James. He tells us that Christ appeared unto James. I take this to be James, the Lord's brother. It's most important for this reason. I'll just give you a little bit of information as time allows, because if I did everything logically and orderly, we couldn't cover hardly any of it. But this way we can cover it all, and I'll tell you a few things about it. It's most important for this reason. In the witnesses that Paul gives, at times there are groups, and at times there are individuals. And these individuals are those, two of them, that were not believers. Peter says he appeared not to all the people, but those that had been chosen of God. And you're liable to think that the Lord Jesus never appeared to any unbelievers. But he did. He appeared to James, his brother, because it says in John chapter 7, even his brethren did not believe in him. And so he appeared to James. And I don't have to tell you about the Apostle Paul. He was persecuting the church on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus burst upon him brighter than the light of the sun. And so here are two individuals, unbelieving individuals, and his personal appearance to them convinced them that Jesus Christ was alive, and they were not believers, but they became believers. Now, you see what I'm telling you? You can go on from there. You say, then he tells us of more than one at a time, and then he tells us two testimonies of individuals to whom the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. That's correct. And so look at things that way. All right. Let's look back now for a moment, and let's just see these here in Paul's account that he gives, and look at them just briefly. It says in verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12 a little word of explanation about that. There weren't 12 to whom he could appear, but this is best explained, I believe. I thought it out, and I thought of one solution. I said, no, it couldn't mean that, because the 12 is just like the term Congress, the Senate. He appeared, I spoke to the Senate. Now, if I said I spoke to the Senate, would that mean that I spoke to 100 senators? You say, no. If I said I spoke to the 100, it may mean I spoke to that body that is composed of 100. It may be that some are sick. It may be that some are out or trying to get reelected. But if I say I spoke to the 100, I spoke to Senate, to the Senate, it is a term denoting an august body of lawmakers up in Washington. And so we take this as a technical term, the 12, meaning the apostleship, those that were apostles. But we know that Judas Iscariot had committed suicide, and we know that Thomas wasn't present. But when he speaks, it says he appeared to the 12. I take that to be the incident that we read about in Luke 24. But the 12, now I just have to tell you these things, or I can't tell you with finality, because the Bible doesn't tell us with finality. But I have to interject this. You've heard of blind Bartimaeus, but you have to look at all the Gospels to find out that there was blind Bartimaeus, because in the Synoptics, he appears by himself, and we get his name. But if you read in Matthew's Gospel, it says, two beggars have their eyes open, blind beggars, and it doesn't even mention his name. But by reading all the accounts, we learn that there were two of them, but we see that one of the authors only tells us about blind Bartimaeus and gives us his name. And so at times, even though there are more, the Spirit of God lets this man tell about certain ones to whom he appeared. And, no, I won't take time, I'll just tell you about it. But in Luke 24, you'll find that there were 10 of the apostles, and we don't know that there were only 10 until we read John chapter 20. John tells us that Thomas wasn't there. And so he appeared to 10 of the 11 apostles, Judas Iscariot being dead and Thomas being absent, but also the two had returned from Emmaus and they said, the Lord was made known unto us in the breaking of the bread. We were talking to him as we walked down the road. And it says there were others with them. I take that to be this appearance when it says the 12. You see, I thought for a while that it might be the 10, and Cleopas and his companions, that would be 12. But then I looked at it in the Gospel of Luke, and it says others. And so that would be more than 12. But he would be taking into account only perhaps these 12, the others not being mentioned. But it seems best to take the 12 as a technical term denoting those apostles. You remember, one was elected Matthias after Judas Iscariot had committed suicide. So keep that in mind. Now, there were 5 appearances of the Lord Jesus, and the ones that Paul gives. He gives Cephas. This is on the first day. This is Simon Peter. Then the 12, I take that I've been telling you about, in Luke 24. Then he appeared to about 500 brethren at once. He skips ever so many important appearances of the Lord, because I told you of 5 on the first day. I won't go over those again. But we are told that a week later, Thomas was with the apostles. And then the Lord Jesus appeared to Thomas. And you remember the incident when the Lord Jesus showed Thomas that he was alive from the dead and said, reach hither thy hand and so forth. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And that isn't even recorded by the Apostle Paul. Think of the church having to wait all of those years unless they personally were spoken to by Thomas and he gave his testimony. Praise God, what a testimony. And Thomas could tell you about his doubting and seeing the Lord. And Paul doesn't even record it. And the church didn't have it until the Gospel of John came along. And the church didn't have the repentant thief on the cross until the Gospel of Luke came along. And so you have 2 things that are omitted before the appearance to above 5,000. A week later, Thomas with the apostles are behind shut doors and the Lord Jesus appears. That's one that Paul leaves out. And then, do you remember? When there were 7 of them, there was Peter, and there was Nathanael, and that was Thomas, and that was James and John, and it says two others, they went fishing. Peter said, I go a-fishing, and the other said, we go with you. And so seven of them went fishing, and the Lord Jesus appeared by the Sea of Tiberias. But it doesn't even occur in this testimony. And that's one of the most precious portions in the Bible. And so that's why I tell you that Paul may not have told us about them, because if the Gospel of John was written about A.D. 100, and this was written about A.D. 57 or 58, why, this was years before the church had in their possession a written account of the Lord appearing by the Sea of Tiberias and having that food ready for them in the morning. Children, have you caught anything? No. If ever you come and break your fast. Those lovely incidents, I want you to treasure it and thank God for the full revelation that we have. But this man, Paul, with his catalog of those that had seen the risen Lord, why, it is enough. And I've told you of the 10. We have the others. Let's go on down and finish them now. Let's have a little bit of order. We have 5 the first day, and then we have Thomas with the others appearing to them, then the 7 by the Sea of Tiberias, then I believe to above 500 brethren at once with the apostles, then to James, the Lord's brother, and then to all the apostles. Do you remember when he led them out and while they were looking at him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of sight? I believe that's what it means by appearing to all the apostles. The last appearance when the Lord Jesus was taken out of his sight. And then he says, he appeared, he was seen of me also as the one untimely born. And so you thank God tonight that we have all of the witnesses that we do now. And Paul didn't have them all, but he had these. And remember, he tells in Galatians chapter 1 that after his coming from retirement in Arabia, he said that he went to Jerusalem, and of the apostles he saw none save Peter and James, the Lord's brother. And so when he spoke to Peter, what do you think Peter would tell him about? Why, when the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And when he saw James, what do you think James would tell him about? Why, yesterday I was telling a man about what led me to the Lord, my conversion. And so these men would tell Paul about his conversion. And so Paul could say, I know that Peter saw the Lord Jesus. Why? When I talked to him, he told me so. I know James, the Lord's brother, saw his brother raised from the dead. How do you know? I talked to James, and he told me so. And then above 500 brethren at one time, and it says some of them are fallen asleep. But all of these are living individuals. Think, just as Paul went to Jerusalem and he saw Peter and he saw James, here at one time there were about 500 brethren, and you could do as I do. Let me tell you this. You know how I've been looking into my genealogy, and some of my ancestors I didn't see. I never got to see either one. I never saw my grandfather on my father on my mother's side. And what I do, I see old people. There was one named Ruth Johnson, and she's 80 in her mid-80s, 85 now. And she knew my grandfather. And I said, how did he look? I said, what was his deportment? Tell me the timbre of his voice. Tell me how he spoke. And so she tells me all of those things. Why? Because she saw him when he was alive. And I take her word, because she is a witness, and she saw my grandfather, whom I never saw. And so she told me how he looked, and how he walked, and how he spoke. His deportment, she told me all of that. And so in like manner, here are these hundreds and hundreds of witnesses, and if a skeptical individual said, Jesus is raised from the dead, well, I'm going to check into this. He would go and talk to Simon Peter, and Peter would tell him about his seeing Peter. James would tell him, go to all of these 500 brethren that are living. You could interview them one by one, and then you could go to the other apostles. You could speak to Thomas. You could speak to all of these apostles, and they would tell you, we have seen the Lord. Now, I'm telling you that because it is so hard living in this materialistic age, in the scientific age that denies everything, and Peter had anticipated it in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, the skeptics, mockers in the last day, are going to come with mockers saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning until now. From the time the fathers fell asleep, you see? God doesn't intervene in history. It's a closed system. Nothing ever happens. And so when a man dies, as one brother said, it's all chemistry. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. But it says that mockers are going to come with mockery saying this. But these individuals are saying, no, it's false. It's false. And so if you were living in the days when these were alive, you could go and say, Peter, look at me. Did Jesus rise from the dead and speak to you? And Peter, with a sincerity and conviction that came of truth, would say, why, of course. He wouldn't have to do as some people do, verbosity or superlatives or hyperboles, trying to tell you all of these wonderful things. In simple language, he would tell you how the Lord Jesus appeared to him. But you see, we are separated some 1900 years from these events. But these were individuals that could be interviewed, and they would tell you. And I will jump ahead and read this verse to you. It says, now, if we are saying, if we preach that Christ is raised from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, if this is so, we are found false witnesses of God, because we witnessed of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up if the dead are not raised. Think of this. You go to a man and you say to Paul, you saw Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Yes, God raised him from the dead. And then you later find out that Paul was a liar. Do you understand that? That's what it means. But I've read the writings of Paul and of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and they have the ring of truth, and all of these men say, we saw Jesus risen from the dead. And Thomas would say, he put forth his hands in his side, I called him my Lord and my God. And all of them would say, and the last time we saw him, he led us out, and as we were talking to him, he was received up into heaven out of our sight. And so I want you to remember this, that scientists are going to come to you, and skeptics and modernists, and they're going to tell you that it is false, it is a lie. But then I'm going to tell you that Jesus said to John in Revelation chapter 1, when he fell at his feet as one dead, he said, he laid his right hand upon me. And he said, fear not. He said, I am the living one. And I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. And all I have to do is to read what the Lord Jesus said to John, and I can forget whatever the world of scientists and skeptics and modernists and those that do not believe in the Bible, I can set it aside. Listen to them. Look at all that they teach you about evolution and science and life and death, everything they teach you, and it will upset you. Go and read what Peter said. Read what Luke said in Acts chapter 1. I told you 10 appearances, but it says he appeared to them by the space of 40 days. We only have 10 of the appearances. Day after day, for 40 days, he was appearing to them. From the first day until a week later, we don't have any recorded appearances. He may have appeared to them. He appeared by the space of 40 days. And so we have the testimony of these men of God that laid down their lives for the truth that Jesus was raised from the dead. I don't think that I could live out that lie. To tell you that there is a resurrection of the dead, yes, I saw him raised from the dead, and somebody's going to put me to death. If I knew that he wasn't raised from the dead and it was a lie, I don't think I could go through with it. I would want to live as long as I could in this world because I would know that there was no resurrection from the dead, that I was a liar. But you don't read the New Testament and find lies in it. It has the ring of truth to it. And so listen to what the world says. Read scientific books. Listen to modernists when they preach. And I tell you that you will be disturbed. But you go and read the simple accounts. Just read when Thomas saw the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. Read about that interview of Cleopas and the companion on the road to Emmaus, and your heart will burn within you. But listen to the world and wonder if what the Bible says is true, and your faith will be shaken. But simply go to the scriptures. Satan says, hath God said, you go and read what God has said, and you'll be firmly planted upon a rock. You'll have a foundation that is immovable. But listen to the world and read scientific journals and skeptics and all of those that say, well, let us have a philosophical approach about this resurrection and you'll be destroyed. But you go and, as a child, read the Bible and it's true. It's not that you don't listen to anybody else, because if you listen to facts and men that had intelligence, you couldn't be strong. It's not that at all. You will find that those can be brainwashed The Orientals know how to brainwash you. The Russians know how to brainwash you. And the next thing you know, you'll be believing things that are false. That there's not a sun in the sky. That it doesn't give off light. That there's no warmth to the sun. They can make you think that night is day and day is night. And so that's why I'm laboring this point that Paul knew of all of these witnesses. And just think, each day in his experience, when he would go to Jerusalem, he would hear Peter tell him about the resurrection. He would hear James tell him about the resurrection. As he bumped into any of these 500, he would ask them. They would tell him about the resurrection. And the other apostles, as he went on through life, are talking to them. If he ever met others, we're not told about it in Galatians chapter 1. These would be those that testified that Christ was raised from the dead. And so, child of God, you have hundreds of people testifying that they saw Christ raised from the dead. And I'm thinking of this. Remember when Stephen was stoned? It says he saw the heavens opened and he saw the glory of God. And he said, I see the heavens opened and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. All I have to do is to read that and I can laugh in the face of all of those that deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so some people, such as Paul at that time, only have the testimony of Stephen, and he doesn't even give it. But Stephen saw Jesus in heaven. I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He doesn't give that testimony, do you see? But he gives all of these, and they were enough to him. And so I have not only those that Paul gives, but I have those that John gives, and I have the book of Acts, I have Stephen, I have all of these testimonies, and this is what it says in the book of Acts. Let's read it, just that. In the book of Acts, turn to chapter 1, just for one moment. Acts chapter 1. It says, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was received up, after that he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Many indisputable proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. You see? That's why I was not able to tell you exactly which instance it's talking about, because he appeared to them by the space of 40 days, and so it doesn't matter. Thank God, in all of these testimonies, the Lord Jesus is appearing to them, and as best God enables us, we put them in chronological order. But it really doesn't matter. If a man says, I can't remember whether it was February the 24th or February the 27th that this thing happened, but I saw that man, so-and-so, to all intents and purpose, if the Lord Jesus had been dead and he was seen 3 days later or a week later, it wouldn't make any difference in that case. And so here is the Lord Jesus appearing for the space of 40 days, and he shows, he presents himself to them, proves that he's alive by many infallible proofs. And so God wants you to believe in these proofs, these infallible proofs. And so read God's word and be grounded in your most holy faith. Now the time is more than gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but our God, we have followed the testimonies of men who at times cursed, at times were sinners. But they've been converted, our Father, and now they've found something that's true, that's worth living for and dying for. We are thankful that by thy Spirit thou hast enabled us to believe these who have told the truth. And so we would not think we are strong, because if we think we are strong, we would take heed lest we fall. But we are so glad that the truth of God, applied by thy Spirit to our heart, the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit, can build us up in our most holy faith. And we are so glad that as they saw the Lord Jesus with their physical eyes, our God, someday we will see him with our physical eyes, but now we would see Jesus with the eyes of our heart. And so encourage us and teach us, and let us not be blown about by every wind of doctrine, and let us not be have our faith overthrown because some deny that the resurrection is past already. We are so thankful, Father, that we have the truth, the full truth, and so let us avail ourselves of all the strength and the upbuilding factors in it. Bless us as children of God, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.